Okay, we change the setting. Is it okay with you with this new background?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know what is behind you, the characters?
I don't know.
Sure, you don't know, but let me explain to you. It means revolution and insurrection.
Oh, sweet. Perfect.
Okay. Revolution and interaction?
Insurrection. 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 Okay. Never mind. We go back to the topics. And one thing I would like to ask you is that in this modern world, we have so many problems right now. For example, we have the climate problem, we have the population problem, and we also have the energy problem. What do you think is the greatest threat to humanity right now?
I feel that the greatest threat to humanity is having humans try and run the show too much and not trust nature, not work with nature more closely. I feel like the Earth, the cosmic and natural forces, the Earth energies, the elements, hold the greatest intelligence, and we need to be more receptive to what they have to say. When we introduce too much technology, when we strip the resources too much for our own benefit, and we start to get out of harmony with these natural forces, we create the problems that we're trying to solve. And to undo the problems that we're trying to solve, we can't solve them with greater control or technologies to try and override it, because that can, you know, make problems even worse. I feel like we need to sort of backtrack a little bit. It doesn't mean we need to go primitive, but we need to understand technologies that are more based in sound, color, and frequency instead of, you know, things that are connected to artificial intelligence or transhumanism. Mm-hmm. I feel that supplements our consciousness, because we are expanding as a humanity. We have the opportunity right now to awaken dormant strands of DNA. And some of these technologies are going to stunt our growth. And if we can work with natural forces more and its capacity to be able to naturally heal itself, then we can begin to unlock our greater potential and advance ourselves in accordance with certain technologies, but not with technologies overtaking, you know, who we are and what our potential is. Because I don't think people recognize how powerful we are. And these agendas seem to be targeting our capacity to understand it. And so we look outside of ourselves all the time. Mm-hmm. And that, I feel, is to our detriment if we do that.
What do you feel about the internet or these mobile phones?
I think it's a way for us to connect. And I feel like technology is connecting us and it's got its place. But there are things that are streaming through it that can compromise us and certain individuals, particularly if they're vulnerable. There's a fine line, right? It's like the internet and things like social media has helped us to all find each other. I don't think I'd be here unless
Without
we had
Facebook
social media, right?
Yeah.
But we also know that there's an infiltration where our data is being collected, there is surveillance, mm-hmm. and there are ways to manipulate humans through that information. But if we're awake enough, if we're conscious enough, if we are operating from our own authenticity and our own sense of power, there's nothing that can harm
but
us.
But do you think a mobile phone is a form of mind control?
Yes and no. It certainly has that capacity to be able to do that, just like certain things in our food, certain things that stream through our television sets, that come through, you know, media, religion. I mean, we're surrounded by things that want to compromise us and control us. But if we are devoted enough to a path of awakening and we are able to question the things that are coming at us, we can actually take down the very things that are trying to stop us through these very devices, right?
But do you think that 5G, the frequencies of 5Gs will harm our mind or our brain?
Well, we're in sort of a battle right now.
The answer, right? Those who say yes, they say okay. And those who say bad, is very bad. Very extreme, the answer.
I feel like both forces are coming at us. We have ascension, organic ascension signals, and artificial intelligence signals constantly coming at us. And every moment we get to choose which one we're going to align with. And when we choose authenticity, being on a spiritual path, having integrity, but also humility to be able to hear our own inner voice and also learn lessons along the way, whatever's coming through these devices can't really control us. And what we end up putting into these devices can actually help awakening the awakening of humanity because we're able to reach each other. So it's almost like saying the weapons against us can become tools for our greater growth if we have the mindset to be able to think in that way. So we see a lot of different types of people. So, okay, for example, chemtrails or geoengineering. We can look at those things and deny that they're there and say, oh, no, that's nothing. Or we don't want to look at the darkness, and we can just be in denial. And then there's other people that look at that stuff and go into fear and anxiety. And then there are those that can say, I can use that weapon as a tool for my own growth by recognizing that we're being targeted. And why are we being targeted? Because we're way more advanced than we realize. And if we can understand that, then we can use things like the internet and use things like technology as a way to stream our higher consciousness through it and actually collapse the lower agendas and use this technology as a way to illuminate something much greater than the thing that they're trying to use these devices to stop us from doing, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like we can use a knife to carve something beautiful, or we can use it to kill each other.
Yeah.
So we need to determine how we're going to best use these tools that we've been given. Mm-hmm. And if we're controlled to use these tools in a way that's harmful for ourselves and for others, whether that's unconscious or conscious, then we're stuck in that matrix, which to me is like a program. It's a social engineering agenda. And if we can use it as a way to bring in our thoughts, our ideas, our truth, the greater picture that we've been kept from, then that is the very channel or means by which we can all connect in unity consciousness.
So it really depends on how we use
how we use the technology.
That's how I feel.
Or whether we can master the technology.
They don't necessarily be bad.
Right.
And one rumor or conspiracy that I heard recently is that the reason why all the governments in the world are not doing work on climate change is because they are thinking of leaving the Earth.
Leaving.
With all these elites. And leaving all of us behind to suffer. Do you think
how do you call it? There are five or six. The Chinese word for it is fenlei manming.
Yeah.
Civilizations that's being torn away from
torn
here.
Away.
Yeah. Well, I was invited to go along with that. I was recruited to go off planet in 2006 to join a Mars colony. That basically was exactly what you're talking about. And I refused to go because how could I possibly live with myself if I were to be a part of an agenda that used the tax dollars of humans to be somewhere else while they have to live under some sort of new world order or engineered catastrophes and storms that have become superstorms because they have the ability to generate something much worse. So when we look at movies that have Armageddon scenarios, end of the world scenarios, to me that's an artificial timeline, right? So when I was recruited to go off planet, I noticed that this was connected to an artificial timeline. And even though they said, oh, this is for your protection and safety, I didn't believe it. I said, this might be or might not be, but I'm not out for myself. I refuse to live somewhere that benefits me and screws over everybody else.
But where is that?
Mars. So they were going to take me to Mars. And that's actually what put me in the public eye, that story.
I see.
Yeah,
because I
exposed that story, and there was a lot of other whistleblowers that confirmed that there are colonies on Mars.
Which means that they already have a colony.
Yeah, but the agenda's not really working out very well because a lot of us are speaking out against it. And we are protecting this Earth. We are protecting humanity and the organic ascension timeline. That one is way more connected to an infiltration of the secret space programs that have created agendas that are out for themselves and nobody else. Originally, those agendas were more positive, and it was about protecting the human genome in the event of a catastrophe that was based on maybe solar events or a polar shift. But based on my research and my soul experience, we're here to be on Earth and to ascend with the Earth. And it's an event that is taking place. Particularly what the Mayans understood, the peak date was 2012. And this window period, called the stellar activation cycle, is when the stargates begin to open and the earth grids begin to heal and the mother energy is anchored back into the planet. And that's what I was being told when I was a child. And that's why I didn't go to Mars, because since I was a child, I was tasked with making sure that I would protect this timeline amongst many others like yourselves.
Yeah, but were you invited to go there or being ordered to go there? And
I was first invited and then ordered.
It was pretend to be a recruitment interview for us, right?
Yeah.
It was like, yeah, you know. So
it's
they,
like,
they
go interview only.
Well, no, they set me up with a partner, and they targeted me based on tracking me and finding me at a location that they sent one of their agents to meet me at, who they located through Looking Glass Technologies as a person that I had known in the past. It's a very complicated story. And so when I met him, he was already familiar. And what they did was, through him, they tried to convince me to go to Mars. It's a long story, but I said, let me talk to the people that are telling you this. And he said, no, you can't talk to them. What I came to understand was they're called the Aviary. They're connected to MJ-12, which have their hands on alien technologies that were a part of ET government treaties. And this particular group have a lot of cover occupations, where if you knew them on the surface, you would say, oh, that's just a physicist. Oh, that person just... When you dig a little bit deeper, they're connected to psychotronic weaponry, my labs, which are military abductions, and gang stalking, and all sorts of nefarious things. And I started to realize that when I was with this person. And, I refused to go.
Oh, so you looked up their background?
Yes, but most of it you couldn't find any. And I was like, no, don't give up. Keep researching. And it took me about 2 weeks to see the connection between alien abductions, certain alien, not all alien abductions, but certain MyLab abductions, certain things connected to artificial telepathy, and things connected to Mars colonies and colonizing Mars and Project Paperclip and the infiltration of the secret space programs and certain defense departments in the government, shadow government, and how it had taken over this group that recruited this partner in, who later found me at an event and wanted to kind of like drag me there, right? So it seemed like a date, like, yeah, we're going to go to Mars. And I'm like, well, he's going to go to Mars anyway. He's like, no. Later on, about 6 months into the relationship, he said that he was sent on a mission to pull me in. Now, when I was with him, I noticed that he was getting phone calls and he was disappearing for days because he would be given codes over the phone and not remember where he went. And he had things that he called handlers. So I started to understand the whole MyLab sort of multi-generational trauma-based mind control and things connected to being an agent while also being groomed to believe that you were being a hero. So when he presented it to me, it was like, oh, this is a really good thing. We need to go to Mars and you need to come with me. And I didn't know a whole lot about handlers or all this stuff, but I researched and I read it. I was like, something's not right. I've always been... No, it's always been known to me to stay on Earth and not.
When you said handler, you meant that
he had handlers.
Handler,
but he said we have a handler for you, and I was like, handler. I don't want a handler. I'm like, what is this? And so I was very rebellious.
So, well, what is this exactly?
Handler.
What is it?
It means that there's somebody that's connected to like a 3-letter organization, like the CIA or NSA, that has been tasked to control what you do, and they are kind of like. So if we were to look at it in a positive light, it would seem like a guardian or a teacher or some... But when you're talking about a dark agenda, it's a controller. Somebody that's going to send you codes or information based on previous abuse that they might have put you through so that they throw you into an altar where you do things like maybe assassins, maybe sexual slavery, maybe something off-planet. So... MK Ultra has many branches, like Monarch programming, different projects like Mannequin, and different secret soldier or super soldier programs. And I was never put in those projects, but I was recruited to go into a project that had these individuals.
Yeah, some of these elements.
Yeah, and basically, they pull you in as a child, and they put you through a lot of stuff. They mostly induce them with drugs, and they basically mind control you and they splinter your personality so that you're basically somebody that they can use to drug traffic, to do assassinations, like JFK assassination was one of their tools. And so my partner was pulled in, and I noticed, oh my gosh, because I was thinking, I've seen this in a movie. Is this really happening? He's calling them. I'm like, And they had code names. Like, their code names were everything from owl to penguin to falcon. And I'm like, am I in a Batman movie? Yeah, like, what is going on here? I'm like, penguin. They had all these code names, right? And they had these different groups where they said that they were studying different abduction scenarios. And my partner was like, oh yeah, they were studying me. And then they realized that I was going to help us to get to Mars, and then they wanted to work with me. And my intuition was telling me that they were sending him artificial signals. It's a long story. And there's a lot of legitimate abduction scenarios, but this one had been infiltrated, which I understood. And when I found their names, I tracked it to a person named Paul Benowitz. Paul Benowitz was a case where they tried to make him, you know, feel like he was crazy for some of the things that they were going through. But and the whole X-Files series is based on this, actually.
I read the book about this guy. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you said you were being recruited. Do you think they recruited you because of your background or because
your
of
family?
Your family.
So one of the defectors that were connected to it. So there was the aviary and the aquarium, which were two different groups connected to MJ-12 and all these others. So anybody who wants to look it up to verify it, all you have to do is Google.
Avian, aquarium. So
aviary, like the birds.
The birds. Yeah. Aquarium, the fish.
Yeah. So you got everybody, like I can name names, but I don't know if that's a good idea. I already have in the past, but like Richard Doty, Hal Putoff, John Alexander. Google any of that with the name Aviary. You're going to find these guys. Not all of them are negative. A lot of them came together to try and understand all these different things going down, like all these different scenarios. So I was told that from a defector, somebody that was willing to tell me what this was all about, because I was like, what is going on? A lot of it was because during Eisenhower's administration, the Jason Scholars and MJ-12 had come together to figure out what these ET agendas, ET treaties, were sort of getting at. So one of the Zeta groups were talking about alternatives 1, 2, and 3. Alternative 1 had to do with the possibility of, like, blowing open a hole to get rid of pollution. Alternative 2 had to do with underground bases.
Is that polluted? That we're going to die?
Well, some people think that the ozone hole...
To open a hole?
Yeah. Well, some people think that the ozone hole was the very thing that they tried to do. But who knows, right?
This sounds almost like a...
It is. It's like a sci-fi like movie gone bad. Alternative 2 had to do with underground bases. Alternative 3 had to do with colonizing planets. So everybody from William Cooper to the Zeta Talk website to all sorts of, you know, different whistleblowers have talked about this. And I can verify that this is not just some myth. I was up against it, you know, being recruited to go off planet. So I researched it a lot, like, what is up with this Mars colony stuff? And then I found Alternative 3. And when this defector told me that, well, during your great-grandfather's administration, they were getting information about what needed to take place in the event of cataclysms. So Andrew Bishaga, who was a part of Project Pegasus, who was connected to DARPA, said that...
DARPA is a project of Pentagon.
Right. And it has to do with, like, you know, defense-related things. Mm. Basically, they were saying that I was targeted before birth. They had already had my name. And the whole program was set up that in the event of cataclysms on Earth, that they wanted to protect the human genome. Mm. And so Andrew Bishaga and I, you know, became friends over time. We still are. And basically, protecting the human genome in the event of a cataclysm, we both agree was a very smart idea, of course. You know, if this planet were to blow up, we would want to protect the human genome. But because of Project Paperclip and the infiltration of the secret space programs, it wasn't about protecting the human genome anymore. It was about colonizing other planets, using all the alien technology for themselves, and compromising the human race while using their tax dollars for black ops projects. Yeah. And so once I realized that, which he had realized, we weren't going to go along with it. Well, he was already being used for teleportation and time travel. I wasn't involved in any of those projects. I was recruited to go off planet, and the way it was presented to me was that in the event of a cataclysm, this is how we need to protect the human genome. And I was chosen because you're a part of the Eisenhower bloodline, and because this was decided during the Eisenhower administration that they needed a descendant. But then he also told me, because you're all about Gaia Sophia and ascension, they didn't want you to do your mission here. They wanted to use you off planet. And so you were right in saying no, because it wouldn't have gone well. And because when I was a child, I was prepared for this window period, which is called the stellar activation cycle, which means that the stargates are opening. Basically, it's like our galactic chakras opening. And it's a time where we're in alignment with the galactic plane, where the Andromeda galaxy and the Milky Way galaxy become one again. And basically, because of all these cataclysms and exploded planets in our galactic history, everything got thrown out of whack, which made us very, very vulnerable to these negative races taking advantage of us. Plus, we were born with amnesia, right? So, to make a long, huge galactic story short, which I don't have all the answers or pieces, we all have to share. That's why we all come together. We are in a position where the planet has healed itself enough to be back in alignment, which is what the Mayans prophesized and many advanced cultures prophesized, that around 2012...
The planet healed itself.
Yeah. You know, it's sort of like being in a huge collision, like a car accident, right? Exploded planets, you know, Atlantean cataclysms, Lemurian Holocaust, Nephilim wars, electrical wars, Maldek explodes. After Tiamat explodes, we drop down to this lower density. And so everything's been crazy because we're in a free will universe. It's like, wow, okay, what a great idea, free will. And then certain beings take away our free will. But over the course of time, it's repaired itself. And we as humans are conduits of this repair work. But we've been in so many dark cycles of history. The wars got so bad that the mother energy actually wasn't able to be grounded in the planet. And instead, these dark reversals that have been manipulating the Earth grids, the stargates, and the platonic solids, like the dodecahedron.
So that's what you say. That's the matrix.
The matrix.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. And so it was all like reversals, right? So they created religions to give us a false sense of, oh, everything's great. No, just pray. And, you know, but the dark reversals had to do a lot with the satanic stuff, the Baphomet and the Dark Mother reversals that would cause us digression. In 2010, the timeline switched, and that's the same time that the sun started to move through the 13th sign of Phaeacus, which is ruled by the ether. It's the only zodiac sign ruled by the ether. And when we look at the ether is the circulation that we hold with the cosmic forces, with spirit. And when we can align with that, which we are right now, then all this lower density stuff, disease, poverty, injustices, all this, you know, degradation that we feel because we have been in reversal mode, that's why humanity has suffered so much, starts to correct itself. But they keep trying to push these agendas so that we stay mind controlled, right? So now we're in a period where we can actually heal as a human race. But as long as we're still watching the television and we're still buying into the propaganda, we're not going to be able to adjust ourselves accordingly. So it's like saying your true love is finally here, but you don't believe he's here because you're so traumatized and you expect everybody to kill you and hurt you. That by the time it shows up, you're going to be like, no, I can't. So here we are, you know, at a time in our history where
I
we
like
can
that
all...
story.
Yeah, it's the best way. Right. So, yeah, I mean, we got to, like, simplify it, right? Because it goes over all our heads. So this has been the basis of my research after getting out of that Mars recruitment is, what does this window mean? Because I know this is what I'm here for, not going to Mars.
Okay, one last question. You mentioned a lot of time about stargates. So... are there any real stargates in this world, or how?
There's 12, supposedly, which I'm confident of. There's 12 stargates, just
on
like
Earth.
There's 12 zodiac signs, 12 strands of DNA
on Earth.
But it connects to the galactic. It connects to everything, right? So we have all that as well, and so the 13 is a very significant number. If we look at the 13
everything
families, everything is 12. 12 hands on a clock, 12 strands, but the reason 13 is so important is because if we look at the 12th, why are we still looping? Okay, yes, we've been dumbed down to a much lower strand of DNA. But even if we were advanced enough to embody our 12th strand, which is the true template, why did that not work before? Because we used to hold that full capacity. So when we are in the Lyra system, which is 10, 11, 12th dimension, it got attacked by reptilians, or this group, because the free will universe created a lot of differentiation and imbalance, which almost invited this warring race. Similar to when we're out of balance as humans, it's very easy for us to become sick or become invaded if we're not in balance, right? We know that when we're not in balance, we're vulnerable. We know that balance keeps us healthy. So 12 strand isn't enough. 12 signs of the zodiac isn't enough. 12 hands on a clock isn't enough. And so the Mayans understood the 13 moon calendar. Chinese medicine understood the elements and understands everything about true healing, right? So when we put all that together and we add the 13, 13 connects us to the zero-point neutron field that connects us into Andromeda Galaxy, which starts to activate our galactic chakras. And there's only a few advanced cultures that can help us. Chinese medicine being one of them, the I Ching being a gateway level of awareness and understanding, and also the Mayan calendar, because it's based on the 13 moon calendar. And then the galactic zodiac, which incorporates the 13th sign, Ophiuchus. Because once we connect into the 13, then we're connected to the Trinity, because 13 connects to the 15 and also the 14, which is basically the Trinity. When we're not connected to the Trinity, we're very vulnerable. And so when the time matrix almost completely died and got destroyed because of all these galactic wars, a new seeding of humans took place, which is who we are. And we're advanced humans, all of us. And so they targeted us. Most humans are asleep because we've been targeted, not because we're not advanced. And we've been taught to believe that we're not advanced, or we've been taught to never even question whether we're advanced or not. And so our DNA got manipulated. We got thrown into this lesser thing, this tree of life, which is the true template turned into the tree of knowledge, which is duality. And instead of learning true self-knowledge, it's been targeted with mind control. So we would never be able to attain true knowledge. And so these other power structures have taken over ever since. And now we're in a period of great awakening. But most people don't accept it because it goes so much out of their comfort zone, because the political, religious, and school system and medical industries have not on purpose, because so many are good in what they do, have not realized the agendas that are working through them. So we're in a time where a lot of ascension symptoms are coming up. People are freaking out. People don't want to know the deeper story. Other people want to know, but it's too much. And some people are just getting really stressed out and kind of sick. And we have to understand that it's a true love story. We have to understand that, like, it's not as freaky and scary as we feel. We have to know that the ramifications of not being authentic is the only thing we need to worry about. We need to come together in integrity, love, unity, mutual love and respect, and be willing to think outside the box. It doesn't mean you need to believe or trust everything that I'm saying. It means, though, that number one, we need to not accept a bad relationship, right? So if we were married to somebody that controlled us or treated us bad, we would want to get out of it just as much as we want to get out of a society that deceives us and lies and betrays us. Most people are afraid to see that that's actually what's happening. And I don't mean that every person in the political arena is like that. But if we put ourselves first without being selfish and just say, what is my truth? And understand that our body is like, you know, kinesiology, we muscle test. Does this resonate or doesn't? Does it not? We have to trust ourselves a little bit more, because right now we have no choice, because anything less than choosing ourselves is detrimental. So to me, authenticity is the prerequisite to unity consciousness. Once we are willing to love ourselves and know ourselves enough, regardless of the friends we might lose, regardless of the jobs we might not want anymore, regardless of the changes we need to make, that's the first step. All I know, being born into the Eisenhower family, saying no to the Mars agenda, making the choices that I made in order to honor my truth and what my soul was telling me, has created more synchronicities and magic than anything I've ever been able to experience. So I know it's scary for some people, but just know that when you let go of the things that don't serve you, there's a greater magic and synchronicity that comes in, because the universe and the earth is a higher intelligence, and it connects us with whatever people think is God or goddess or whatever. But we need to cut the cords with the matrix, and they make it really difficult and scary, right? Because certain laws are put in place, and this is going to be what happens if you do this or that. But if we all do it together, it doesn't stand a chance. And so this is a time where we can all, you know, really hold hands and rehabilitate and come together and figure out the best approach, because these lesser entities have nothing on us, but yet they have conditioned us to live in enough fear to not want to venture outside of the boundaries that they created. We need to have our own boundaries, though, as far as how much we're allowing in, based on, you know, our connection to the divine, you know, the earth. Just even spending the time to just look at a plant or look at a flower or look at a bird will help to activate us through the BS.
Sure, sure. Yeah. I think if you really do what Laura suggests, and you will find the truth about yourself. Okay.
To live truthfully.
Yeah, and yes. We have to know, like, you know, it's a lot to accept this information. And so I do astrology readings, and I help people to understand, well, what is your map? You know, because we all have a different map. We're not all the same, but yet we're all one, right? We all have, I mean, there's so much diversity amongst us as far as our storylines, the way we're raised, you know, and what we're up against. And when we understand our astrology, which I find is very helpful, it doesn't mean that somebody needs to know it. But if you're really struggling, the more you know yourself and you understand the root behind whatever sickness you might feel, whatever stress, anxiety, or fear, you know, when you can understand the root of it and also see where your greatest potential lies and what direction is best for you to move into so you can get those activations, you're not going to feel as jaded or alone. And the time of isolation is over. We need to come together. Even if this information is over your head, I'm not here to say this is the truth. Take what resonates and leave the rest. But all I can say is the most important thing that I feel is the truth is that we come together. Mm-hmm. And we just, you know, laugh and love and share what we can and be open to these greater conversations and be willing to correct ourselves based on having an open ear. You know, some people are like, this is the truth. It's like, we have to be fluid. It's we need to be a part of a greater conversation. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and well, this is the most that we can get because we're having another program, right?
That was a long discussion.
That's it. Yeah,
and a lot of information comes
really
out.
Very grateful that Laura's here.
Oh, thank you.
And, we can feel that when she talks, she's really into it.
Yeah,
giving out a big, bombastic energy.
Energy. And I wish you have a successful Expo.
Thank you so much for having me. It's really nice to meet you.
We'd like to have you, well, in Hong Kong in the future.
I'd love that. Oh, my gosh.
We'll do a tour to go to the potholes.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
And
this is the most powerful one in China.
You will be the guide who take us to the Stargate.
Let's do it.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, this time, she does it by herself.